Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. If you like what you hear in the Bible study today, there's 10 years worth of Bible studies available free of charge at john14:15.org. Now let's turn to today's Bible study. And he chooses to show mercy to whom, according to the Bible? Those who love me and keep my commandments. So it's not like he left us wondering. He told us. Back to Hosea chapter 2, verse 17. Starts with the word for. For means because. Here's what changed. For I will take from her mouth, her being Israel, the names of the Baals. And they shall be remembered by their name no more. In the day of the Lord there will be no more idolatry. Just for grins, let's go back to Exodus. Let's see. Is it chapter 35? Let's see. Where he gives us the three pilgrim festivals, but before it says 23. Thank you. 23. Okay. On the left-hand side of the left-hand page. Yeah. Okay. So in Exodus chapter 23... Verse 14 says, three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. The first one is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which includes Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. But the verse before 14 is 13, which says, and in all that I've said to you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth. So don't call my festivals by the name of a pagan god. What did the church rename first fruits to? Easter. So the verse right before he talks about those first feasts, God says, don't you call them by the name of a foreign god. Okay, to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. I heard a preacher recently say something that really confused me. He said, yes, in the pagan festival of Easter, they had bunnies and chicks and colored eggs, but that has nothing to do with the Easter of today.
Wow. Ever been to an Easter egg
hunt? Okay. Judges chapter 2. I wish he'd explain that a little more what he meant. Judges 2, verse 11. Says, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. That's the pagan idols. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. How did God respond? With judgment. Go to Judges chapter 3, verse 7. Seems to me we saw that one already once today, but it fits right here too. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. What's an Asherah pole called today?
Christmas tree.
Christmas tree, yeah. Judges chapter 6, verse
25.
Yeah, it's a little different. Yeah, a little different. You made me think of that, didn't you? The church in Murray, Nebraska that I went and talked to the pastor, in the front of the church, instead of a cross, they have a totem pole. Yeah. Yeah. What's that?
Why would they have that?
I have no idea. When I asked the pastor, he didn't have any idea. He said it was there when I got here.
Wayne?
Yes, sir?
If it's up in Alaska, it's to do with the, the Haida, the people all along that western coast there.
Uh-huh.
The way in which they remember their ancestry and everything.
Yeah.
It's halfway between a totem and a what have you, but it's the history of the tribe and all that sort of thing. Yeah. So that cultural thing, that's what the totem pole is
gotcha.
Doing there.
Gotcha. This was in Nebraska, though.
Oh, I thought you said Alaska. Sorry.
Nope, Nebraska.
No, I'm a bit lost. It may be to do with the local Native American culture. I'll look it up.
Okay. Judges chapter 6, verse 25. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal, however you want to say it, that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that's beside it. The wooden image there was the tree. You know, God said specifically, don't you put a tree in my temple? Yeah. And build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in a proper arrangement. So God always says, tear down the pagan idols and then build an altar to me. Don't just take the pagan altars and use them to worship me. God says, anything they use to worship their gods, don't use that to worship me. There's many other references we could look at, but I'm disgusted enough with those. Let's go back to Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2, we're up to verse 18. In that day, what day? Day of the Lord. I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field. God's going to enter a covenant with animals. With the birds of the air, with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. That covenant with the beasts means they will no longer attack, bite, kill, etc., human beings. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. It's a promise that in the Messianic kingdom, you will have nothing to fear. There will be no war. There will be no vicious animals. In Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 6, it says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. That refers to the Messianic kingdom. No more hurt. Why? For, that means because, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How completely does the water cover the sea? Do you take a boat out and suddenly fall all the way down to the bottom because you hit a dry spot? No, it's completely and totally covered. So the knowledge of the Lord will completely and totally cover this earth. And that's why there's no more fear of being attacked, not by armies, not by animals.
Brother Wayne?
Yes, sir. Ma'am, it was Rachel, I think.
Yes, is this covenant with the animals for the future? So we have, I know that we haven't seen it yet. So he's making a covenant with the animals for the Messianic kingdom, correct?
It says in that day. So it's in the Messianic kingdom. So right now, if you go out and try and pet a wild wolf, you'll regret it. How many of you have seen the TV comedy show called Ghost? And the young girl, Flower, the way she died was Well, she was at Woodstock, got high, and saw a bear in the woods and thought it needed a hug. Didn't go well. That's the way those encounters would normally go today. But in the kingdom, you can go up and hug the bear. You can pet the bear, play with the bear. Just don't do it today. It also said in verse 18 of Hosea 2, no more war. Go to Isaiah 2, verse 4. Isaiah 2, verse 4. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This is where I have a real issue with the amillennialists who say we are living in this messianic kingdom right now. There is no harm. There is no war. It's all peace and safety. I don't know where they're living, but I haven't seen any peace in this world in all my umpty-ump years. So let's go back to Hosea. What's that, Susie? Yep. Susie, you're breaking up so badly we can't understand it. I'm sorry. Try again. All right. Hosea. Back to Hosea. Chapter 2, verse 19. I will betroth you to me. What's that next word? Forever. No more captivity. No more idolatry. No more the Baals or the Ashtoreths. No more. I'll betroth you to me forever. Yes, I'll betroth you to me. And who's the you? It's Israel. In righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. We already know God only shows mercy to those who love me and keep my commandments. So this shows that Israel has repented and turned back to God. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 6. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 6. This is a parallel passage. It uses that same word, forever. Ezekiel 43 is where the Lord returns to establish his kingdom. It says in Ezekiel 43, verse... Whoops, I see a number one out there. Maybe she decided to type it out. Yep. Knowledge of the Lord, she says. Yeshua, Torah, instructions for living? Yes. In Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, it tells us Messiah is going to teach the Torah. In Ezekiel 44, it tells us the Torah, the law, has not changed. In Hosea chapters 4 and 6, we learn that the knowledge of the Lord refers to the Torah, God's commandments, statutes, and judgments. So Ezekiel 43, 6, then I heard him speaking to me from the temple. That's the temple in Jerusalem that does not yet exist, but will very shortly. While a man stood beside me, he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne. That's where Messiah will rule and reign through the messianic kingdom into eternity future. In a place of the soles of my feet, that means ownership and possession. The Lord will take it back from Satan. Satan's had it since Genesis chapter 3. No longer. Where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel, how long? Forever. So you know this has not yet been fulfilled because there is no temple in Jerusalem, so the Lord's not residing in it. No more shall the house of Israel defile my holy name, they nor their kings, by their harlotry, that's their adultery, their idolatry, or with the carcasses of their kings on their high places, that is worshiping the pagan gods. No more idolatry. When they set their threshold by my threshold and their doorpost by my doorpost with a wall between them and me, they defiled my holy name by the abominations which they committed. Therefore I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put their harlotry, that means idolatry, and their carcasses that are kings far away from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever. Psalm 89, 14. That's why the knowledge of the Lord covers the earth like the waters cover the sea, because Messiah himself will be teaching it. As we saw in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. Yes, Rachel?
That third temple, God is not going to dwell in it because they're going to sacrifice the foul pig on the altar. So he's going to break it in two and seek another temple there on the mountain, correct?
At least the altar is going to be replaced. Whether the building itself gets replaced or not, we don't know. When Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed his sow pig on the altar in Daniel chapter 8, it defiled the altar. And when they restored it back to God, they destroyed the altar and built a new one, but they didn't tear down the building.
Okay, the only reason why I asked is because the earthquake is going to come through and split open that graveyard. So I don't know if it's going to make that whole temple go through.
We'll just have to wait and see.
Yes, sir.
Was it John that said if everything that happened is going to happen was written, the world couldn't contain the books? So God didn't tell us everything. Some things we just have to wait and see. But for now, we can go to Psalm 89. And if you're waiting for me to say verse 34, I'm not going to. It's verse 14. But boy, am I tempted to do verse 34. But Psalm 89, 14. Let me give you a chance to find it. If I go too fast, what are you supposed to do? Say, oh, take a drink of your soda. Don't you feel parched? Psalm 89, 14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. This is a psalm about the kingdom and Messiah rules and reigns. If mercy is going from before your face, that tells us that the people are being obedient to God out of love. And if truth goes before your face, what is truth? According to Psalm 119, verse 142. That's the Torah. So the people are being obedient to God's commandments, and that's why he can show them mercy. All right, you persuaded me. Verse 34. Yeah. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. That's one of those when I hear theologians teach that God broke his covenant with Israel, my jaw gets tight. Because God says he does not ever, ever break his covenants. We may break his covenants, but he never will. And if he will not alter the word that has gone out of his lips, can he change the commandments? Can he abolish the commandments? Can he make them optional? The answer is no.
That, you know, that goes along with Psalm 119.
Goes along with Psalm 119.
I think it's verse 89 that says forever.
Verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven.
Which means it cannot change.
Go to Psalm 85. Ooh, Psalm 85. Good psalm. Start in verse 8. Yep, if God were to break all of his covenants, then what is Ephesians 2 talking about when it says we're going to be partakers in them? You can't be partakers in a covenant that doesn't exist anymore. Ephesians 2, are you not familiar with Ephesians 2? Then just hang on till we do Psalm 85. Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. When is this? This is in the kingdom. But let them not turn back to folly. That word folly means foolishness. The fool said in his heart, what? There is no God. So the people will stay loyal to God and he will stay true to them. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. What's it mean to fear him? It means to be obedient to him. That glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Now, because she twisted my arm, let's go to Ephesians 2. I love the ibex trails. Many times over the last 30 years that I've been teaching the Word of God, people have said, don't discourage the questions. They're the only good parts to your teaching. I don't think that's exactly what they meant, but Ephesians 2, starting in verse 11. Paul is writing to Gentiles who got saved to remind them they're not Gentiles anymore. The word Gentile means pagan. Once you get saved, you can't be a pagan anymore. So Ephesians 2 verse 11 says, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh. Once means not anymore. You used to be. Who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, which says the Jewish believers were looking down on the Gentile believers, and that was wrong. Paul says that should never happen. Because once you and I get saved, it doesn't matter if we were born Jew or Gentile, does it? We're one in Messiah. That's what Ephesians 2 is about. So verse 12 says that at that time, at what time? Before you got saved, you were without Messiah. How many of you realize that before you got saved, you were without Messiah? That's kind of what it means, right? You got that part down. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Paul says you used to be aliens from the commonwealth of Israel before you got saved, meaning you're not aliens anymore. And strangers from the covenants of promise. They didn't used to apply to you. God made no promises to the unsaved Gentile world, except for the Noahide covenant, which God made with the earth itself, that he would never again destroy the earth with the flood. Having no hope without God in the world. Before you got saved, you had no hope because you were without God. But now, what's changed? You got saved. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one. The both are the Jewish believer and the non-Jewish believer, have made them one, no longer two. No longer separate. And has broken down the middle wall of separation. It refers back to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius sent three of his soldiers down to go get Peter, would Peter have gone with them? Have God not intervened? No. Peter said, you know how unlawful it is for us to go with you. But God has shown me. How many times did God say from heaven, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. He said, what I have cleansed, you shall not call common. Was he talking about the pigs? No. Peter says, God has shown me I should not call any man common or unclean. That's when the middle wall of separation got broken down. God had said in Matthew chapter 28, go out and teach the Gentiles. And the disciples had not gone and said a peep to the Gentiles. Because the rabbis said, you can't associate with Gentiles. And God said, who gets to decide what's clean and unclean? Me, not them. So that's that middle wall of separation. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Enmity is hatred that separates. The hatred that kept the Jewish people from being able to go speak to the Gentiles about the gospel. That is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. If you have an NIV or a Bible translated from Westcott Hort, it omits contained in ordinances. And that's all the difference in the world. That is law of commandments contained in ordinances. That word ordinances is the Greek word dogma. You've heard that word dogma, D-O-G-M-A. Never does dogma refer to the commandments of God, only to the man-made rules and regulations. So it was those rabbinic rules that were separating people, not God's commandments. What had God said in Numbers 15? One law, one custom for you of the people and for the Gentile who's been grafted in. The rabbi said, oh no, uh-uh. So as he created himself, one new man from the two, thus making peace. and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Not the law, the enmity. And he came and preached peace to those who were far off, to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. What's that one Spirit? Holy Spirit. Now therefore, because all this is true, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. He said you were strangers from the covenants of promise. You're no longer strangers, which means you're participants. But the new covenant's with Israel. Yes, you've been grafted in. You now participate. And foreigners, you were foreigners from the commonwealth of Israel. Now you're part of the commonwealth of Israel. You're part of the children of Israel. But fellow citizens with the saints, Revelation 14, 12, we keep the faith of Messiah and the commandments of God, and members of the household of God. Therefore, turn to chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 17. Because you're now part of the commonwealth of Israel, a participant in the worship of the true living God, a participant in all the covenants. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in a futility or perverseness of their mind. Does this mean you can no longer walk on your feet, you have to walk on your hands? No, that's not what it means. Talking about the way you live, the way you conduct yourself. That is, you keep the commandments of God, which you did not before you got saved. Because now you've repented, you've turned from your sin. What is sin? Sin is lawlessness. Give me a verse. 1 John 3, 4. I bet she won't ask another question. But, okay. Back to commenting on Hosea 2, 19. Go to Exodus chapter 20. To whom does God show mercy? He tells us. In Romans 9, he said, I'll show mercy to whom I show mercy. But he's told us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, who that will be. Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. But showing mercy to thousands, that's thousands of generations, according to Deuteronomy 7, 9, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Does that mean we're saved by works? No. We're saved by faith. If you have faith in God, you will love God. If you love God, you'll be obedient to God. That's all it's trying to say. Can I look at your works and get an idea whether you're saved or not? So can God. Deuteronomy 5:10. Moses broke that first set of tablets. God wrote out the commandments again. Did they change? That's why we need to look at Deuteronomy 5. We're going to find it did not change. Deuteronomy 5, verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 10. But showing mercy to thousands, again, as thousands of generations, to those who love me and keep my commandments. How long is a generation? It just depends. Let's take the very shortest it could be in the Bible, 40 years. Well, take just the very shortest, 40. What's 1,000 times 40? 40,000 years. The earth is only 6,000 years old. So this means those who love me and keep my commandments extends thousands of years past the beginning of the new heavens and new earth, which means where we sit today, this still applies. Deuteronomy 7, 9, it keeps saying it's thousands of generations. Let me prove it. Deuteronomy 7, 9. Therefore,